I've asked Brother John to play some songs tonight. And I didn't pick the songs. I said, I want you to pick some songs that people will recognize and play them. So he's going to play a verse. As soon as you recognize it, call out the name. Because I can name that tune, but we're not giving away prizes, all right? But I want him to play, and I want you to, as soon as you don't have to raise your hand, just call it out, okay? So, Brother John, what you got? You stumped him on that one. No, what is it? No, what is it? What is it? Every day, Bud Holly. All right. You could turn his mic on too. I told you pick something they would guess. Cocoa Melon for us, right? We know Cocoa Melon, right?
How about this one?
Hard to be a woman, they say.
No.
No.
Gosh,
what
yeah,
you got?
This one.
What?
No.
You got him. That's three. I guess he wins the prize, right?
No, I got one more. I got one more. Let's try this.
What? Oh, Mike's back there singing them, but he doesn't know the title.
How about this one? You guys know this one, I think.
I'll be there. You've got a friend. See, now we're there. Mike's over there singing it. All right, that's four.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
You got that one?
I played it.
That was it? Oh, he guessed it? Oh, I didn't hear Willie Nelson, but I guess that's it. All right, we got one out of five so far. Time of my life, they said.
Someone got it. Yes.
All right, there you go. We got two out of six.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, I think that's all I got.
All right, that's all he's got.
I have more, but it's not. Well, I'll do one more. You guys know this one, guys? Let's see.
They know it. All right, they know it. All right, good. They were beautiful, weren't they? Even if you didn't recognize us. That's right. If they weren't on the Elvis greatest hits, huh? That's okay, yeah. 1 Corinthians 14. I mean, you brought Willie Nelson. What more could you ask, right? 1 Corinthians 14, some of you probably already figured out where we're going. In verse number 6, 1 Corinthians, thank you, John, appreciate that. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? So I asked Brother John to play some songs, just whatever you want, and let's play a verse and see if people recognize what it is. And though we didn't know some of those songs, we knew them all. Right, they knew that one. They said that one. But even if you didn't know it, what did you recognize about what he was doing? There was sense to what he was playing. There was melody, harmony, and he had to learn it, and he had to practice it. Now, he didn't just come in, Brother Henry, you want to go play any of those songs he just played? Right, so if any one of us sat down at the piano, we would have to read the notes, learn the notes, or learn by ear. Some people do that, and that's wonderful, very talented. And then practice putting all of those notes in order in a manner which gives a sense or gives understanding to the hearer what it is you're playing. And the same is true in teaching and preaching, and in particular for us sharing the gospel. And, you know, on several occasions I've called someone forward and said, tell me how to be saved. Every year when we go to church camp, I insist on that in one of those initial meetings with the counselors is that somebody needs to demonstrate how to lead someone to Jesus. It's very important. When you have those children there and they're hearing about the gospel and they're hearing that they need to be saved, if you don't tell them how to be saved, what good is it? If we tell people that they need to join the church but we don't express why, or we tell them they should be baptized but we don't express why, what good is it? We have got to make sense of what it is that we are drawing out of the scripture. It has to have harmony. It has to have meaning. And Paul says here to the church at Corinth, even things without life. You see that? Without life-giving sound. He said you've got to sharpen it, and you've got to play it distinctly, or they won't know. Look at what he says in verse number 8. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? How many of you watch those old, you know, with the cavalry, right? Whether it's John Wayne or any of those, and they sound that trumpet. Right? Some of you were in service and they still did that kind of stuff, and you say, I know what that means. All right, you know, they play the sun goes down, the flag comes down, they're playing taps, you know when it's time to get up, you know when it's time to charge, and you know when it's time to retreat. Why? Because they learned those signals. And so when the trumpeter or the bugler sounds those distinct messages, what if he doesn't do it right? What if the alarm that he is sounding is the wrong? What if he says to retreat when it's time to charge? Or vice versa? Or it's time to get up when it's time to go to bed, or vice versa? And somebody pulls him to the side and says, you got it wrong. Well, we as the church, and Paul here talking to the church at Corinth, he's talking about speaking in unknown tongues or in foreign languages. Unknown is that, well, I don't know it. But specifically, he's going to talk about two things here, and we'll see what he says about it. One, he says, if you speak it and somebody else can interpret it. Okay, that's a foreign language. Or, he says, another type of speaking in tongues is to have a prayer language or a praise language that you don't even understand. And so he says that's for private. I'm sure if you've been around in other churches, you may have come across someone who just jumped up and started so-called speaking in tongues. But unless someone interpreted that, Paul said it doesn't belong in the church. Now, if you want to do that in private, he says, knock yourself out. But it's not for the benefit of the public or for the congregation. In fact, he says, it may be that you jump up and start speaking in Spanish, and somebody that speaks Spanish understands it, then it's useful. They can interpret it. But he said, if not, then there's no point to it. And, you know, some would make a test and say, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. The Bible never gives that test. The Bible never makes speaking in tongues a standard of salvation or a premise of salvation. We have to give distinction. How will people know that we are Christians if there's no distinction? If there's no difference in the way that we talk, in the way that we act, in the way we engage, in the way we handle stress, in the way we handle joy, in the way we handle downtime, how will people see that we are Christians? You see, all of those things matter. Because some people, when they have downtime, go wild. And a Christian ought not to do that. There ought to be distinction in our lives, and there ought to be distinction in our speech. And there certainly should be distinction in our teaching. And that means that if we're going to share the gospel with someone so they can be saved, number one, we're going to have to learn it. And number two, we're going to have to practice it. Even if you're standing in front of the mirror saying, if you were standing before God at the gate today and he asked you the question, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? Because the only answer is that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I put my faith in God and asked forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and he washed my sins away. That is the only way we're going to get in. By the way, I don't believe God stands at the gate and gives us a test. He knows who's getting in and who's not. They make funny cartoons, but that's just not the way it's going to be. But we, as Christians, this is the most important thing we share with people. And if you don't know how to do it, you need to practice it. If we don't have it down pat, we need to practice it. We need to be able to express it in such a way, and this is so important. It has to be easy to be understood. Look at verse 9. Except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. I've told you probably many times about my friends that I worked with in South Florida. One was named Don and one was named Jeff. And I was riding with Don. He was my boss. And he told me one day, he said, Derek, I asked Jeff how to get born again. And I thought, boy, that's great. And he said, but after 20 minutes, I told him, never mind. Listen to me, it doesn't take 20 minutes to tell somebody how to get born again. We don't have to complicate it. It should be easy to be understood. In fact, we should be careful not to use church lingo or Baptistese, if you will. What does it mean to be saved? When we say saved, what does that mean? Born again. Again, it's a Bible term and it's a good term, but people don't understand it. So let's make it simple. Are you going to heaven? When you stand before God and he asks, why do I let you in? What is your answer? And they'll give you some answer, whatever that might be. And you say, you know, the Bible tells us that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And do you know that if you pray right now, you can ask God's forgiveness for the wrong that you've done in this life? By the way, what is sin? Is that a worldly term? No, that's a Bible term. That's a church term. People don't know what sin is. But they know they've done wrong, don't they? For all the wrong we've done. And people are trying to balance it out. Let me tell you something. You could be so nice to me all day long, And at the end of the day, smack me across the face, and you and I are not going to get along. Do you understand that that's what happens every time we sin? We smack God right in the face every time we sin. And at some point, there's got to be a reconciliation, some forgiveness. And God said through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He would forgive us of every sin and cleanse us from every spot and every stain, that there's no remembrance of our sin, that He would remove it as far as the east is from the west through Jesus Christ if we ask. We've got to make it simple. God will forgive you of all the wrong you've done. He will clean your record and give you a new life in Jesus Christ. Yes, you'll go to heaven when you die, but He'll give us a new life here. He'll send His presence by the Holy Spirit to live within us, to dwell within us, so that we have His constant awareness and presence in our lives. But it has to be easy to be understood. Whether that's teaching, or whether that's preaching, or whether that's soul winning, it has to be easy to be understood. If you're sitting around with your friends talking Bible and talking about church and God and Jesus, it's got to be easy to be understood. You know, one of the problems I've found in my life is that when you get a bunch of preachers together, they want to bicker about things that don't get people to heaven. I want to get people to heaven, don't you? I want people to find peace in Jesus Christ, peace with the Lord, and reconciliation, and their sins washed away, and unload their guilt and their humiliation, and walk in liberty. That's what I want to give people. And they find that in Jesus. He says, well, it's got to be easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. How many of you ever feel like you're just wasting your breath? Right? And that's what Paul's taught. He said, guys, if we make it complicated, if we make it hard to be understood, we're wasting our breath. Trying to show people the way of salvation, and we're giving them stuff that they cannot absorb in a couple of minutes. That's what we're giving them has got to be absorbed immediately. He says in verse 10, there are, it may be so many kinds of voices in the world. And none of them is without signification. You know, the music he was playing, it meant something. It connected, and people were singing it, and people remembered those songs. Even if you couldn't name them, you knew what they were. And the same thing, if there's somebody here that's speaking in another language, if it's Spanish and there's two of them and they're talking to each other, it means something to them. Doesn't mean anything to us, but it means something to them. It has signification. In other words, it's distinct. It means something. Verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be to him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. We cannot communicate. Verse 12, even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Again, let's go back to this speaking in tongues. A lot of times I'll see preachers do it. Sometimes if you watch them on TV, they'll start rattling off. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful or mean about it, but Paul said, nobody understood what you just said. You wasted your breath. Now, you want to do that? Paul said, do it in private. But when we do it in public without an interpreter, you know what that's called? It's called drawing attention to ourselves. Verse 13, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret it. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. He says that there are yearnings, he tells us this later, there are yearnings that the Holy Spirit of God makes to the Father on our behalf, and we don't even know what it is, and we didn't even know we needed to pray it. Sometimes we'll just weep and cry and moan and with God, and we don't know what to say. We just know that we need God. Well, that's what he's talking about. You may not put it to a language, but that's what he's talking about. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will let the Spirit of God, I just yearn to God, and I don't know what I'm saying, don't know how to say it, and then I will pray in such a way that I know what I'm saying and I'm expressing it. And sing with the Spirit and sing with understanding also. Again, that's private. That's a personal yearning for God. Else when thou shalt bless, verse 16, with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? It's not helping anybody if they don't understand you. And that's if you're talking in a foreign language, or even if that foreign language is church language. Right? We've got to speak in a language that our friends understand. And that's whether we're describing salvation or baptism or the church or God, we've got to speak in a level that they understand. And if we get too religious in our language, they don't understand it. And we're not here to win each other. We're here to win the world. He says in verse 17, thou verily givest thanks. Well, but the other's not edified. You're speaking in tongues and it didn't help anybody else. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church I had rather have speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also. He said this is not the place for it. When we're in the church, we ought to edify the church. Build people up. Teach. Converse. Discuss. Look at what he says there finally in verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. We have got to be in the Word, growing in our understanding. We've got to spend time in prayer and worship, growing in our relationship with God, growing in our closeness, growing in our appreciation. We've got to spend time with each other. Again, growing in our fellowship. Growing in those things. Growing in understanding. Not to be childish in our understanding. But he says, now in malice, in our anger, in our revenge, in our fight, he said, now when it comes to that, be childish. Be like children. You know, because here's the thing about children. They'll get mad at you in just a few minutes. They want to play again. But you know what I've learned? The older we get, the longer we can hold out and hold a grudge and hold the memory and hold it against somebody. Paul said we've got to speak distinctly. That means we've got to learn it. And if we're going to share it, we need to practice it. We need to get good at it. You say, well, Pastor, I've tried telling people about Jesus, and I'm just not any good at it. Well, I don't know. I could tell you this, that when I was in high school, I took piano and guitar. And I went on to college, and I continued with piano lessons. And I could sit over there, and I could play Mary Had a Little Lamb. And you'll recognize it. I could do the Wedding March and Amazing Grace. It'll be a little slower than you used to, but I could play it. You know why? Because I learned it. And I practiced it. And I'm sure that if we, you know, again, some of us are just not as coordinated and all that to be as good of a player as Brother John is, of course. But if we applied ourselves and learned it and practiced it, we'd be better than we are. I may never preach like Billy Sunday. I may never do some of the great things of some of the great preachers of history. But if I'll study and practice, I'll be better than I am today. And that's all we can expect of ourselves. And Paul said, we've got to do that. Because the voice of the church has got to be significant. People have to know what it is Capitol Heights Baptist Church believes, especially on the fundamentals. And maybe we need to practice that in our own hearts and minds and study up on it. By the way, we need to know what the Bible says about it, because that's the authority. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful for the time we've had in your word tonight, the fun we've had, and the lesson we've had, the praise, the hymns, the burdens that have been shared. God, meet those needs. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Heal our hearts and minds and make us useful to your purpose. Dismiss us with your grace. Lord, for those who be traveling, we pray for safety, that you'll bring them back again, that we can serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen.